A few years ago, Duke University's medical school started an initiative to take better care of the mental and spiritual health of its students. One of the offerings they came up with was a class called Anatomy Drawing. It was designed specifically for those overworked first-year med school students to help them slow down and to use a different part of their brain. There were a couple spots reserved in this class for those outside the med school, and as a student at Duke Divinity School at the time, I was able to participate in this class. And this group met on Monday nights in the basement of Duke's main hospital, which is where the anatomy lab is. That room smells like formaldehyde. The room stayed mostly quiet as we drew. You could hear the sound of pencils and erasers on paper and the occasional soft conversation. We students, we drew the lines and the curves of the body. And there's never a straight line on the body, I learned. We drew toes and tendons. We were spending time with these bodies as real people. Who were they, we wondered. What made them decide to give their bodies to science? Each body's unique details filled in some of these blanks for us as we wondered. Some had old scars on them, and others had newer ones. One person's hand had nail polish on it. For me, this class that I got to take through the medical school had nothing to do with religion, but everything to do with Jesus. That same semester, I took the required church history class, which met in a lecture hall in the Divinity School with 200 students, and we learned all about the early controversies in the church as the church was forming about what people thought of the physical body of the resurrected Jesus. Today's story from Luke's gospel describes the moment Jesus appears among his disciples after he had been crucified and dead for three days. And the disciples, they didn't recognize Jesus's body. They thought that they were looking at a ghost, and they were terrified. Jesus assures them that he's not just a phantom or a ghost, and he says essentially, "See, it's really me." And he shows them the wounds on his hands and his feet. And then he asks his astonished friends for some food, which he eats in their presence. It's a small detail. It's a snack of broiled fish. Sometimes the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tend to record small details, such as Jesus' snack of choice. But then they seemingly, inexplicably, leave out the most important matters. On Sunday mornings during the Easter season, we hear post-resurrection accounts, which include details about Jesus' wounds and food choices, but nothing about the resurrection itself. These omissions leave the curious among us wondering, how was it exactly that Jesus rose from the dead? For example, was his resurrection visible? Did it sound like anything? Where did his body come from? Did Jesus' body float upwards from some sort of fixed point to another? Nowhere in the New Testament, writes the historian Diarmid McCullough, is there a description of the resurrection. It was beyond the capacity or the intention of the writers to describe it, and all they described were its effects. The New Testament is thus a literature with a blank at its center. This blank at the center of the New Testament has challenged people's faith from the very first days of Christianity. Some first century followers of Jesus, for example, developed ways of thinking about Jesus which are not part of today's mainstream faith. This is where my church history notes came in. Now, there was a group called the Docetists, and they were a first century group who concluded that after Jesus was crucified and appeared, like in Luke's account today, he only seemed to be human to them. There was no real body, they argued. It was just an illusion. It's true, after all, that in the depths of human grief, The imagination can expand to take on new creative shapes and conclusions. We know this to be true. This way of thinking about Jesus' risen body as a vision would have been a much more acceptable way to talk about Jesus Christ, particularly to those in the ancient Mediterranean. The idea that Jesus' body was no more than a vision is more respectable, and it's honestly a much nicer idea to spend time with than thinking about real bodily practicalities. Nice ideas give us a break from the body, from its open wounds on a man's hands and feet, or for that matter, that same man eating fish with said hands. We don't come to church, though, just to listen to nice ideas about God. We come to church as real people with actual bodies that have scars, bodies that get hungry. There's a type of hunger that exists that goes beyond food, but that's best expressed in eating, or perhaps, in the historian McCulloch's words, to satisfy this blank at our center. A writer who lives in San Francisco named Sarah Miles describes a bodily encounter with Jesus in her memoir, Take This Bread. Miles, who is a self-described blue state secular intellectual, a lesbian, a left-wing journalist with a habit of skepticism, describes wandering into a church one day, hurting and hungry in her soul. What Miles found was, quote, the eternal and material core of Christianity, body, blood, bread, wine, poured out freely, shared by all. What she discovered was a religion rooted in the most extraordinary yet subversive practice, which is a dinner table where everyone is welcome and where the despised and outcasts are honored. Miles experienced church not just through ideas, although she engages with those, but through hunger that was satisfied. Miles went on to start a food pantry at St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church in San Francisco, collecting piles of groceries on the church's altar, which were then given away to San Francisco's hungry families. The resurrection of Jesus is an idea, but it is not only an idea. The resurrection of Jesus is not only a metaphor for springtime in the North American hemisphere. Jesus' followers were not looking at a ghost or a hologram. When the disciples grappled with Jesus' human form that day, they didn't recognize him because in their grief, they were not able to see what was ahead of them. Within this blank space at the center of the New Testament, there is a bodily resurrection of Jesus where his body stands on the other side of death. That body is a real human body that ate a snack of broiled fish. And also, it is God's body. We need a real savior. We need real help. We need real help navigating life together. We need real help with our jobs, with our families, with our bodies. And when we pray to Jesus, we're talking to an actual person with a real story, just like you and me. This is our hope. This is our hope. We have a hunger for what Jesus' broken body can offer us. And when we receive that, we can taste that hope. Amen.